So let's what if for just a moment. What if you made an amazing discovery? You know, that earth-shaking, game-changing innovation that will have historical significance. Who do you tell first? Maybe a Facebook post that you can be shared with all your Facebook friends and they can share it with all their Facebook friends and so on. Or maybe you make a YouTube video and hope it'll go viral. Or how about a Twitter tweet that is hashtagged over and over and over again? You could be more traditional and tell your news verbally. But who gets to hear it first? Is it your spouse or your best friend, who will then tell another friend and another and another? But that sounds like that old telephone game. And you know how things get confused and get lost in translation. Well, what about thinking on a larger scope? Maybe the news media or radio or television or even an infomercial. All possibilities, but also expensive, not to mention anymore, those medias are somewhat slanted and unreliable. Well, how about telling someone with influence, maybe a celebrity or a political figure, even a high-ranking government official? But it's highly probable that celebrity will expect some compensation for their endorsement, and that political figure will be discounted by those on the other side of the aisle without even testing the validity of the discovery. So who can you trust with such important information? Might I suggest some third shift, blue-collared migrant farm workers? That'd be absurd. Who would believe them? Why would they do a better job than any of those other people that we've considered already? But do you realize that's exactly who God chose? Luke says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terribly frightened, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And when the angels departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and seeing this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And when they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger, and when they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed about the things which were told them by the shepherds. When God had the angels announce the entrance of his very own son into the world, he chose shepherds, not kings or government officials. They're too busy with power and authority and politics. He didn't choose rabbis or religious leaders. They had all the information at their fingertips, but they were more concerned with religion rather than a relationship with God. He didn't choose famous people, not those who spend their time in their ivory palaces looking down from their lofty heights and down their noses at others. Shepherds have always played a significant role in biblical history. Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and his sons, Moses and David, We're all shepherds. Even elders in the New Testament are considered to be as shepherds. Humanity may look down upon the humble shepherd, but God exalts him. It's not a coincidence that God had a purpose in informing the shepherds first of this earth-shaking, game-changing, historically significant good news of great joy. They may even hold a special place in his heart. They care for his sheep. You know the ones, the smelly ones, the not so bright ones, the vulnerable ones, the ones that tend to wander off on their own and have trouble finding their way back home. I can't prove it with any certainty, but I wonder if the animals whose skins that were used to cover Adam and Eve after their first sin in Genesis 3 were sheep. Maybe that's why shepherds play such an important role throughout scriptures. But even more probable, why God considers shepherds to be so valuable is that Jesus is the perfect, ultimate shepherd. He's the sacrificial shepherd. John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He's the risen shepherd in Hebrews 13:20. "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord." He's the forgiving shepherd. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul." And he will be the rewarding shepherd. In 1 Peter 5:4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory, the unfading crown of glory." Father, we come today to remember Christ as that perfect shepherd who has laid down his life for us. And Father, it was given in such a way, Father, through the purity of his life and the viciousness of his death. Father, we understand what a supreme sacrifice that was. Far greater than any Old Testament sacrifice, far greater than anything else. And so, Father, as we remember that, as we remember our need for a shepherd and for a savior, because we tend to wander off so much, we ask for forgiveness. We ask for reconciliation. We ask, Father, for redemption. And Father, as we partake of these emblems which represent his body and his blood, may we be renewed back to you. May we be encouraged. May we be excited. May we be ready, Father, to do as those shepherds when Christ first arrived. May we be willing to go out and to proclaim the good news of great joy. For we ask all these things in Jesus' holy name.